So I have missed you. I was here last week. I want you to know I've been around. I just haven't been up here. We've had some different guests speaking, and haven't they done a great job? I'll tell you, we've had some great speakers up here. Our staff guys have just done great. I'm so proud of them. But I'm glad to be with you this morning. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Okay, you don't believe that today. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." All right. Well, good morning, Building A. Good morning, those of you online and on the radio. We are glad that you are along with us, and certainly those of you here for the very first time. We are glad you're with us this morning. Early last week, a television station in Michigan accidentally released the election results for 2020. The screen appeared with the winners and losers on it, the presidential election down to a number of local elections, and they had percentages and they had the whole thing set up. They said it was an accident. It happened during The Bachelorette, and I promise you I don't watch The Bachelorette, okay? I just need to go on record and say I have never nor will I ever watch The Bachelorette, but that's what it appeared on, and I'm going to tell you today, I'm not going to tell you what those results were because those were manufactured, but I am going to tell you today who will walk away the winner of the election of the year 2020. Who's going to win this year? It's not a prediction. It's really not a prediction. It's already happened. It's already taken place. The vote started back in February or March of this past year. And today, the winner, the leading influencer of the year 2020, the loudest voice in America, even in the world, in the year 2020, is fear. Fear wins. Whatever the name of the president is later this week or whenever we find out the results of the election, fear has already won the year 2020. We have allowed it to take over our lives. You cast your first vote for fear back when you first heard that this strange virus that was on another continent at the moment is coming our way, and you began to realize this could affect me, my family, my home, my job. You cast a vote for fear when that happened. The battles that have been fought since that time over issues of racism and injustice in our streets have been led by fear. Every protest, every riot, every act of violence has fear driving it. Our law enforcement authorities live in fear of what the next traffic stop will bring, or the next protest, or the next arrest will bring to them. People are stocking up on ammunition, unlike anything we've ever seen in the history of our nation, buying guns and ammunition. Walmart took their guns and their ammunition off the shelves this week because they said in this quote, "We were afraid of what might happen after the election." Fear wins. And then there's the election itself, the real election. I've never seen in all my years, and I've been through, 14 presidential elections. I've never seen or felt the level of outright fear that this election cycle has generated. Both parties are reacting in fear over the other candidate being elected. 40% of Americans fear violence over this election. And this contest is really not being driven by which candidate necessarily has the best vision for the nation or the finest policies or the most hopeful, optimistic policy or vision. It's just being driven by how much fear the other party can generate about the other people winning. Now, stop me if I'm wrong, but let's admit it. We have voted to allow fear to be an honored guest in each of our homes. How many of you feel it every morning when you wake up and every night when you go to bed? Every time you turn on the news and then quickly try to turn it off because it's so discouraging. We've encouraged fear to take a prominent seat in our hearts and our minds. And sadly, allowing this unwanted guest a place at our table actually, fear actually physiologically weakens you. Did you know that? Let me make this very clear. If you're afraid of getting the coronavirus, which most people are to some level, to some degree or another, they don't want it, whatever it is, they don't want to get it. So we kind of fear it. But the more we fear it, the more we actually weaken ourselves physically against it. It's insidious. The more fear we generate about it, the less capability we have to fight it. Fear actually causes tooth decay. Did you know that? It creates all kinds of physical problems for us. Every headline in our news and media outlets lead with fear. We have literally allowed ourselves to be decimated by this emotion, controlled by it. Many people have reported for the first time in their lives panic attacks and levels of anxiety that are driving them to the border of suicide. First time ever. Prescriptions for anti-anxiety and antidepressant medications are skyrocketing. Again, like we've never seen before. Let's admit it, we're afraid. Now, I don't mean Halloween and scary mask afraid, the not horror movie level afraid after what we've just been through in the past month. This is a very real monster that's squeezing the life out of some of us today. Now, maybe not everybody in here. Maybe there are some very bold, bravado kind of folk and fear just bounces off of you like you're wearing a Kevlar vest. But that's not true for most people. This is part sermon today, and to be honest with you, part counseling session. Because we're hurting, folks, as people. Fear is very real. And as people who follow Jesus, we need to remind ourselves over and over again that fear should have no home in our hearts. Jesus said it multiple times, "Fear not." Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Why are you afraid? Let not your hearts be troubled. Why are we afraid? You know, one of my earliest memories of elementary school happened in the back of my first grade classroom in a coat room. It was where we put our lunch bags and our coats and things when it was cold. But this is where it happened. I was back in the coat room one day. And some kids came around me, and started taunting me with this sentence, "Timmy loves Crystal." Timmy loves Crystal. Now, I did not love Crystal. I don't remember liking girls back then. I don't remember why this would have even happened, but that was what was happening, and they continued mocking me until finally I put my little first grade hands over my ears and I started shouting at the top of my lungs, "I do not! I do not! I do not!" And it was then that Mrs. Chatfield rounded the corner in the back of the coat room. She was mad. She was like she was old. She was like 35, you know, she was an old lady. And this senior citizen was running back in the coat room. She had a whisk broom. You know what, a little short broom with a handle? She had a whisk broom, and she was coming after me. And I started running. I didn't know what else to do. I wasn't going to sit there and let her beat me. I don't know what it's about to be beat to death with a whisk broom, but I wasn't going to find out. So I started running. I ran out and literally circling the classroom. I wish I knew. I need to somehow explore my mirror. I don't know how this ended. I know I got in some kind of terrible trouble over that. I don't remember if she finally whisked me. I don't remember what she did. But I'll tell you this, she left a mark on my memory. That fearful event, and I was afraid, left a mark. And looking back, I think about that experience, and I think how ridiculous. Why was I running from a senior citizen with a whisk broom? I mean, how bad could that hurt if she had caught me? But I was afraid. And here's what I think, folks. Here's what I think. I hear Jesus saying those two words, fear not. Don't be afraid. And in fact, by some estimates, the Bible says do not fear, or some variation of that, 365 times. 365 times. Why are we afraid? This is Jesus looking at us going, the enemy's chasing you around with a whisk broom. Why are you afraid? What do you think's going to happen to you? Why are you running? Why are you living in fear? Why are we running scared? Why don't we see this victory that we sang about a moment ago? Why do we succumb to these fearful thoughts? So how do we overcome it? That's what I want to talk about for a moment today. How do we overcome fear? Jesus didn't leave us without instructions, not without help. In fact, if you want to, take the entire passage from John chapter 14. John chapter 14, fourth gospel, chapter 14, and 14, 15, and 16 have some of the most incredibly comforting thoughts and words you will ever read anywhere in the Bible. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, stabilizing them the night before he was going to go be crucified, and their world was going to explode when that happened. But Jesus was settling them. Jesus was establishing them. He was building them up in their faith. And the passage begins, in fact, chapter 14, verse 1, I quoted it a moment ago, begins, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. All right? And it ends in chapter 16, verse 33, with this statement. I have said these things to you that in me you might have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And in the middle of it, in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He says it twice. Don't let your heart fear. What's he talking about? Because there's a lot of people afraid right now. Why are we ignoring what he said about fear? Why are we living as though the world's about to come to an end? Why are we afraid? So let's walk through a couple of things. Let me take the last statement that Jesus made first. You know, we need to let go, first of all, we need to let go of unrealistic expectations, folks. We need to let go of unrealistic expectations. Jesus shook us with that in chapter 16, verse 33. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. In this world, you will have suffering. In this world, you will have difficulty. In this world, you will have problems. In this world, you will have the reality of pain. Reality is hard, folks. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have some hard things happen. We're not promised, and I love this about Jesus. He doesn't promise us an easy flower-lined pathway through this world so that whenever your pathway is not flower-lined and everything's beautiful, you have not veered off the path. You may just be exactly where Jesus said you're going to be in this world. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to struggle. The world's fallen. It's ugly. It is not the world that God intended for us to live in. We broke it. We live in the results of the ruins of a broken world. We introduced brokenness by our sin, all of our sin, not just two people that live back, you know, in the Bible and Adam and Eve. That's not, everybody's sin. We continue to break the world. We continue to break people. We continue to break each other. Pain is real, folks. Violence is real. Terrorism is real. Evil is real. Injustice is real. Cancer is real. COVID is real. Suffering is real. All right? These things are realities, and fear is real. And you know, listen, all fear isn't wrong. Please hear me. I don't want to overstate my case this morning. Some fear is good. I mean, if you're in your yard and there's this this black kind of snake coiled up, and it's looking at you, and there's something rattling on its tail, you probably should be afraid. I mean, I think you would be well within the normal range. If you had a moment of fear and panic and you went running, screaming, I would do that. That's, you know, that doesn't mean you have failed spiritually because you were afraid of a snake. No, I know what the Bible says about treading on scorpions, but I'm not going to test it right here. Not on this guy. I'll find a garden snake, maybe. I'll tread on a garden snake, but I'm not going to, you know, do you really want to take on a rattlesnake? I don't think so, but that's, you know, just the reality is that. Fear is a God-given trigger that protects us from real danger. The fear that we experience that becomes sick is taking that wonderful God-given normal response that He gave us to protect us and distorting it. Sex is a wonderful God-given gift. We mess it up. We distort it. Nothing wrong with sex. It's wrong with what we do with it. Sometimes becomes horrific. Nothing wrong with fear, but if fear becomes a constant resident in your life, you're constantly living and breathing fear, there's something wrong. That's not ever what God intended for you to do. And you know, sometimes we make things up. You know, there's a book called The Worst Case Scenario Survival Guide. I always get kind of tickled looking at that. It has chapters in it on what to do if you are on the bottom of the ocean and you are captured by an octopus. Have you ever thought about that? And just to give you a quick hint, if you want to take notes, you actually do somersaults until it lets you go. Hopefully you have a long, deep breath in you while you're doing that. But then as you're ascending to the surface, you might encounter a shark. And now we all know what to do when a shark attacks us, right? Everybody knows, right? No, not scream. When a shark attacks you, you punch it in the eye or in the gills. Those are the two most sensitive parts of its body. Now, see, aren't you glad you came to church today? You know? And the same is true. Listen, for those of you who fear a UFO encounter, you have been abducted by a UFO. What do you do? I mean, what do you do in that moment? Well, they actually have a chapter on UFO abductions. You should punch the alien in the eye. Which, okay, if you didn't bring a ray gun with you, that is. So anyway, that's, you know, and listen, this is really helpful. A silverback gorilla can lock you down like chains. They can put a grip around you and hold you like you are in chains. But if you are in the grip of a silverback gorilla, what you do, now listen, this is complicated. You stroke its arm. And you make loud smacking noise with your lips. They're fastidious groomers, and they believe they're getting a spa treatment when you're doing that. So they let you go. They relax. They kind of chill out. So, you know, these are really helpful things to know. But in spite of all these hard realities, Jesus said, listen, I have already overcome the world. You don't have to worry about the what ifs. And that's where fear usually takes us, isn't it? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? Well, what if they get elected? What if they don't get elected? What if, what if, what if, what if? We what if ourselves into fear, do we not? Bad things happen to people, certainly. Bad things happen to good people, always. Happens all the time. Sometimes it seems justice won't come. But in spite of all this, Jesus said, yes, in this world you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, but don't be afraid, I have overcome the world. I didn't get one amen on that. I need to say that more forcefully. Jesus said, don't be afraid, I have overcome the world. Amen. Oh, that's a little better. Okay. In Christ, we can overcome too. And that's the promise that He gives us. Secondly, we not only let go of unrealistic expectations of the world, but secondly, we lean into the promises of God. Now, I want to give you something really, truly practical here. The survival stuff does not, but let me give you something really helpful. You know, if you're listening to fear, you're listening to a lie. You do know that. If you're listening to fear, you're listening to a lie. It's a lie that keeps us from believing that the promises of God are true. That's all it is. It's a lie that keeps you from believing that God's promises are true. We believe the lie that says God will not keep his word. When I brought Mikhail, my granddaughter, to church today, and we were, she asked me if we could get a cake pop at Starbucks, and I thought we would have time to do that, and then I realized we didn't. And she said, "Poppy, I wanted a cake pop." And I said, "Well, maybe your mom and dad will get you one later. Poppy, you said you'd get me a cake pop." So after church, I'm going to go to Starbucks. Don't tell the Twisted Compass folks. I'm going to go to Starbucks and get a cake pop for my granddaughter because I promised her. And I want her to know that when people promise you things, they will come to pass. She may forget about it. I'm not going to forget about it. Listen, God's promises are true. They're real. They will hold up under the fire of life. Fear needs us to see the world through the lens of a lie. Fear makes our problems seem bigger than God. We make our concerns outsized to God's ability to deal with them. We believe there are some issues that are so big that God just can't handle them. Fear works us by making us forget God's promises. So let's be honest. You know, there's a lot of things that are frightening in the world right now. But we also have a lot of promises. I'm going to give you 10 verses of Scripture. 10 verses. If you want to write them down, I advise you don't listen. This is not a listening exercise. This is a doing exercise. And I'm going to publish them tomorrow, so they'll be online if you want to see them tomorrow too. But I want to give you 10. And here's what I want you to do with these verses. I want you, for the next 10 days, starting today, to take one of those verses a day, one of those verses a day, and I want you to make that your verse of the day. And here's what I want you to do with it. Every time you encounter a fearful thought, you recite that verse or read that verse in that moment. Now, by the time you've come to the end of the day, you'll probably have memorized that verse of Scripture if you're doing this. Put it in a post-it note on your windshield, your mirror. Put it somewhere where you can get to it easily. Stick it on your coffee cup. 10 verses. You ready? Write them down if you can. I'll read them. I'm going to give you the quote. And then, so this is, first of all, Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. That's Deuteronomy 31:6. Proverbs 3:23-24. This is Monday's verse. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. That's Proverbs 3:23-24. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Proverbs 1:12:6-8. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. That's Psalm 112:6-8. Psalm 56:3-4. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Psalm 91:4-5. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will take refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Psalm 46:1-3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Psalm 23:4, you know this one, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. That's Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5. All right, I'll publish those again tomorrow. Hopefully you grabbed a few of them today. But I'm serious, folks. If you're afraid, if you're struggling with fear this morning, it's because you are not leaning into the promises of God. Let me say it again. If you're struggling with fear this morning, it is because you are not trusting, you are not leaning on the promises that God has made. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. God keeps his promises. And finally, we live out the victory of Jesus. Let me say it again. We let go of unrealistic expectations. We will have problems in the world. There's no promise you won't. Number two, we lean on the promises of God. But third, we live out of the victory of Jesus. As Jesus said again in John chapter 16, verse 33, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus wins. He's not going to win. He has already won. The only thing that he hadn't done yet is come back for the parade. He's already won the victory. There's nothing up in the air going, well, I wonder if he wins, I wonder if he... No, Jesus has already won. There's just a parade yet to come, and we get to be a part of that. If we're living in fear, folks, we're not walking by faith. There's no such thing as fearful faith. You understand that? Now, there's the fear of the Lord, and yes, we need to fear the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and I understand that, but faith and fear are actually... they cancel each other out. If fear is ruling your life right now, you should see it as a warning light on the dashboard that something's really wrong. Your faith is being pushed to the side. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be afraid of tomorrow. Will you say that to yourself right now? Don't worry about tomorrow. Let me push it a little further. Don't worry about Tuesday. That's a little harder, isn't it? I won't worry about tomorrow, but Tuesday, that's a different story. Don't worry about the what ifs. Don't worry about a future that you can't look into. God will give you all the strength you need right now to deal with whatever it is you have to deal with when the tribulation of the world comes your way. But he's not going to give you enough strength to deal with tomorrow's problems today. You'll get that tomorrow when you get there. Don't worry. Jesus, you know, we need to understand, no matter who wins this election, most of us will still not choose to vote fear out. It'll still be in office unless you take some very definite steps to get rid of it. You got to throw it out. It's a guess that won't go away. You invited it in, and it doesn't know how to leave. It doesn't want to leave. You have to forcibly throw it out with the Word of God. We live out the victory of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus did? Jesus took his tribulation, his trouble, and yes, Jesus had tribulation, and Jesus had trouble, and Jesus had sorrow. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He had suffering. You know what he did with it? He bundled it all up, and he took it to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he bowed before the Father and said, Father, I can't handle this. You know what you do with your fears? Same thing. You take them to the garden. God, I can't live with this. I can't live with the what ifs and the possibilities and what in the world immediate. I can't live with this. What am I going to do? You're going to take it to the garden. And you're going to say, Father, not my will, but yours be done. It is not God's will that you live in fear. Child of God, hear me. It is not his will that you live in fear. It is not his will that you live in fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has not given you a spirit of fear. In fact, 1 John chapter 4 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love." We love because he first loved us. Listen, the victory of Jesus is your power. The victory of Jesus is your power. It is your key. It's the key to unlock the prison of fear that you find yourself in today. The victory of Jesus, the victory of Jesus is your victory by faith. Because Jesus won, you win. Because Jesus won, you get to march in the parade as if you fought on the battlefield just like he did. So let me tell you three things real quick, be done. Three things. Number one, reach up. Reach up. Remember the promises of God. Lean on them. 10 days, folks. 10 days. Repeating the word of God to yourself, cleaning out your mind and the corners of your psyche from the fear that has embedded itself there. 10 days. 10 verses. Can you do it? 10 days. 10 verses. Quote them to each other. Send them to each other in a meme. Send them to each other just remind a friend. Hey, are you quoting a verse today? Oh, okay, good. So you haven't come into anything fearful today. Good, good, good. Use the word of God. The promises of God are true. They can hold you. Secondly, reach within. Remind yourself of the power of God that is within you, that is your victory. We have the one who was victorious even over death living inside of us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And finally, bow down. Reach up. Lord, I'm claiming the promises. Reach in. I'm living out your victory. Bow down. Lord, I'm coming into your presence. I'm bringing all my fears, all my problems, all my struggles, all my failures, all my sin, all my work. I'm bringing it all to the garden. Today, some of you are struggling a lot with fear, and it's really because you have no relationship with God. Maybe you're just questioning today. You don't know a lot about what the Bible says, but you know you're afraid, and you know you don't like it. You know you don't like fear. Isn't it time to let go of it? I want you to bow your heads with me right now. Building A, if you would. And Father, as we pray right now, we ask for your help. We don't want to live in fear, Lord. We don't want to live in fear of what ifs. Father, our nation is afraid. Our people are afraid. We pray for the outcome of the election, Lord, that whatever that is, you will be able to bring peace. But keep us in your care, Father. Give wisdom through this time. Father, we can't pretend that the coronavirus is not around us. It is. It's affected many. Taken the lives of some. We pray that in the midst of this, we will not allow fear to rule us. We will not allow fear to win. And Father, I pray for every fearful soul, every person who struggles right now mightily with fear, that they might know the freedom of Christ's victory. Thank you that you loved us so much. And Father, that your love casts out fear in our lives. May we embrace that love, receive it today. Father, for those who do not know you, may this be the day that they say yes to Jesus. No to their fear, yes to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now you come as God leads you. Let's stand together. It's time of decision.